We're talking diabetes, and we'll be back with the lines in just a few moments. I want to take a couple of SMSs here, though, which have come through. Wendy wants to know, can you please tell us what the symptoms of diabetes are? Prof?
Yes. Look, it's slightly varying as well, but some of the more common one is sometimes thirst, in other words, that they're feeling thirsty all the time. You get that it's very regular urinating, in other words, that you quickly need to go to the bathroom quite often. Sometimes it's got to do with unexpected weight loss. So it's a person that's maybe sometimes overweight, but then suddenly feeling unexpected weight loss. And then you can start getting problems that's related to the disease, and that is vision, that your vision might be affected. And then sometimes even strong feelings of hunger, but also out of the expected. So it's not just like you've gone for a long run and now you're thirsty or you're feeling hungry, but it's almost your extremes and unexpected type of feelings of thirst, hunger, weight loss, regular urinating that's required, and then vision that can be affected.
All right, and then Andrew wants to know, can type 2 diabetes be cured completely? If so, what would have to be done? Now, type 1 cannot be cured, am I right?
Yes, that's normally something that you would be treated for life.
Okay, type 2...
I'm careful to use the word cured, but you can find that a lot of people can often that it can be controlled if they, especially if diagnosed early, they do the lifestyle change, the diet, the activity, the nutritional status and things that's around it. Sometimes it is controllable, so that it's not necessary to be on chronic treatment and so on as well. But again, I'm very careful that I feel that if there's any symptoms, don't feel that you can't cure it yourself or can't treat it yourself. Do stay under the control of a healthcare professional to make sure that you are under the right type of treatment. Because that's a problem we have with a lot of medication. We talked on another radio program on antibiotics and the fact that people don't use it as they should use it, and you get resistance developing and so on. Now with diabetes, you've also got the problem that someone's been put onto a medication, but they develop a side effect or a problem, or they think they are cured and they stop the treatment, and the risk of disease or even permanent change is so high that they must please not do this without the supervision of a healthcare professional. If you feel better, have it checked by a healthcare professional and make sure it's under control. If you've got a side effect on a treatment and you feel that this medication is not doing what it's supposed to be doing, we've mentioned a bit earlier of research that we've done, and there is one of your most common diabetes type treatments is metformin. That's one of the active ingredient which most diabetic patients are on. And yes, chronic use of metformin does deplete your body of vitamin B12. And that can have symptoms like this neuropathies. In other words, can have negative side effects as well. But be aware of this. And then rather just use a supplement of vitamin B12 to address this symptom rather than stopping the medication and running a big risk of secondary complications.
Okay, let's go to Yusuf and Benoni. Thanks for holding, Yusuf. Good morning to you.
Morning, Adam. How are you, Adam?
Good, thanks. And you?
Fine, thank you. Adam, I'll ask Prof two questions. Prof, I noticed that a lot of the people who go for a major operation like bypass or a back operation and they become diabetic, I wonder what the reason is for that. And then the other question, Prof, is the glucose tolerance test. How often should one do? And was that able to determine your future diabetic situation?
Okay. Do you want to listen on the radio, Yusuf?
Yes,
thank you. Okay, Prof, go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the question. It's difficult regarding if you've been for a major operation or whatever and now suddenly you've developed diabetes. In some cases, it could have been that there's been a bit of a shock to the system, if you can put it that way. But often, I think it's not a question of diabetes being only then being presented, but only then being diagnosed, because you've got a large overlap of diabetes with other chronic diseases, like, for example, cardiovascular problems, cholesterol, etc. So what you are finding is that the patient might be presenting with a different problem. So he's getting a heart attack. He's being diagnosed with that now. He's got a bypass or a heart operation. And suddenly after the operation, you've actually got diabetes. And then it's not a question of the heart operation causing the diabetes, but it's actually the diabetes that played a large role in the presentation of the cardiovascular problem. And now that that's being treated, you suddenly realize that this person has got diabetes and needs to be treated for that as well. So that plays a major part. And regarding the control thereof, or to see whether your glucose levels is under control, I almost want to say as often as possible, especially if you've got any symptoms or you're type 1, normally tests on almost like on a daily basis. We don't need to go there. Type 2, to control it as best as possible. I would be prone that if you've got diabetes and you are not convinced that it's under control yet, that you be checked by a healthcare professional at least every 3 months, if not more regularly, till you are sure it's under control. Once it's under control, you can start testing it less regularly and just do a finger prick type test to make sure if there's any doubt, have I eaten something, have I done something that might have affected it.
You know, I once came across somebody, Prof, who said that she had developed diabetes as a result of a fall. Is that possible?
Well, again, that's very difficult to say. Generally, I would rather have expected, again, that there must be underlying factors present, and that, again, the fall and or the accompanying shock to the system might have brought it to the fall, and being diagnosed at that stage. But 90% of the time, if not 100% of the time, the underlying factors would already have been there. In other words, there might have been problems there already and not diagnosed.
Yeah.
And now suddenly just the additional stress on the body is bringing that to the fore.
Okay, that makes sense. A message from Lucas from Benoni. What are the simple ways of preventing diabetes? We've touched on this, but there might be listeners who've just joined us who are asking the same question in their minds. What are the simple ways? One of them we've spoken about is exercise, diet, lifestyle. Is that in its in simplicity, or is there something else that you think should be added?
Well, we spoke about probably the first one, the biggest one, that is obesity, in other words, weight, to make sure that you are not overweight. That's probably one of the biggest factors. The second one was physical activity. Now, if it gets to the diet, there's specific guidelines that's been given for that as well. And that is, in short, it's to eat healthy, but I would say rather drink water or tea and coffee rather than this carbonated sugars, drinks that's high in sugar. Mm. You need to get enough vegetables and fruit, at least 3 portions a day of each. If you're eating small things in between, nuts and fruits, alcohol use as well, that needs to be controlled. Normally a maximum of 2 standard drinks a day, but the alcohol control. And then meats as well. It's normally things that's a bit more fat-free, your white meats, and full-grain type of bread and pastas and rice and so on, and your unsaturated type of fats, etc. So diet at large playing an important role, starting at weight control, that's not overweight, especially type 2 diabetes. Obesity or overweight is probably one of the biggest factors. Secondly, physical inactivity, and then thirdly, diet. Right. Follow a healthy diet.
We'll go back to the lines in just a moment. Somebody is saying on the SMS line, there is about a 10-year latent period before diabetes becomes manifest, hence the need for early diagnosis. Would you agree with that, 10 years?
Well, I'm not sure regarding the time period. It's a bit of a generalization because it can vary from patient to patient. But yes, it often can take a bit of a period. And like with many other diseases, if not all other diseases, early diagnosis of it is critical. Mm. In other words, rather be diagnosed early, don't be afraid of it. Rather know that you've got it and treat it or fix it.
Okay. And then last one before we talk to Yasmin. Pancreatic transplant for the treatment of diabetes is a reality, says somebody.
Well, it's probably the more severe type of things where things like that would be considered, but something to talk to a healthcare professional about.
Okay. Yasmin, thanks for holding. Good morning. What's your question?
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
I just need to find out, Doctor, if one is suffering from type 2 diabetes, and still fairly active in the sense that no overweight and exercising and day-to-day activities quite fairly energetic. I'm not talking about excessive energetic, but can one suffer from excessive bouts of exhaustion? But I'm talking about a debilitating exhaustion where you just so exhausted. Tired all the time, suffering from quite deep muscle-related exhaustion as well. Is that part of the disease?
Interesting question. Thanks, Yasmin. Go ahead, Prof.
Yes. Again, it's slightly difficult to go into the each individual and the way that it's presenting, but if there's extreme exhaustion and it has been diagnosed, you are physically active, you are under treatment, something that I would be wary of is that you are not allowing your blood glucose levels to go too low. In other words, in diabetic patients, you also have to be careful for hypoglycemia. In other words, where the treatment is maybe slightly too strong. So you are on maybe an anti-diabetic type treatment and it's been the right treatment for you, but in the meantime you've started to adjust your lifestyle, you have become more physically active and eating more healthily, and now some of your glucose levels are too low and you're struggling to cope due to that. So I would just first of all again go back and make sure that it's the treatment is still effective, but specifically that it's not maybe going too low. Other symptoms that you can look out for, that if it's hypoglycemia, in other words, if it's going too low, is if there's excessive sweating or you're feeling warm or heart palpitations, often a feeling of nausea and but this feeling of tiredness and weakness, sometimes dizziness and struggling to concentrate, weakness is a symptom that slightly falls more into the group of hypoglycemia, where the blood sugar is now starting to fall too low rather than the risk one where it's going too high.
But one needs to get that checked out fairly urgently, yeah?
I would have a check, yes.
Thanks for the call, Yasmin. I just want to get back to the coenzyme Q10 that we were talking about earlier, Prof. Acts as an antioxidant and is decreased in diabetic patients. Just explain the role of coenzyme Q2 and how important is it? Is it a nice to have or is it a must as part of your daily diet?
I think it's very important. Look, coenzyme Q10 is one of your body's most potent antioxidants. Antioxidant is basically what protects us against what we call free radicals and things that causes and damages in the body. And coenzyme Q10 specifically, there's proof that it's got a beneficial effect in protecting us in this endothelial dysfunction. In other words, problems that's related to diabetes. Now, coenzyme Q10 not just plays an important role in diabetes, but in your coronary heart disease and in conditions like hypercholesterol, etc. And as we've referred to just quickly earlier as well, as there's a realization more and more that some of the chronic diseases causes a depletion of this coenzyme Q10, and therefore it needs to be supplemented. And even certain treatments, because one of the important treatments that's used in diabetic patients is often your statins, in other words, to control your cholesterol, because it's not directly related, but there's a large overlap. So a lot of diabetic patients would also be on statins. And unfortunately, that's one of the side effects or problems that's been picked up with statins, and that is not all of them, but that often some of your statins that's treating your high cholesterol can decrease your coenzyme Q10 levels, and then you need to supplement it again. So be aware of the treatment that you're on and how this can affect certain of your supplements in the body. Blood pressure as well, because again, diabetic patients, coronary heart disease being a problem, and then we find that people must use blood pressure medication. If you like, you look at your most common one, your so-called ACE inhibitors, you'll find that vitamin D is often decreased, and even vitamin C, or even the mineral zinc. So it's a very, well, not very common, but not very well known. But sometimes the patients using this blood pressure medication get a slight loss in taste. So suddenly, while using the medication, they feel that their food doesn't taste the same anymore, and they're losing some of their ability to taste. And then they stop the medication, and in the meantime, it's not to do directly about the medication. Yes, the medication is, in this case, causing that more of your zinc in the body is being depleted, and it's actually a symptom of low zinc levels that you should look at treating this. And again, I want to emphasize you're not going to run out to a pharmacy and buy just a general type of multivitamin. Talk to your healthcare professional. It's normally specific vitamins and minerals for specific type of conditions and chronic treatments.
Okay. Let's take this last question quickly, and that is somebody wanting to know about the correlation between stress and diabetes. Is there a strong correlation?
Well, to a large extent, this stress is almost to blame in most of your chronic type of diseases. If you look at diabetes, the effect of stress is again almost more on the coronary side, where we said because of diabetes, it causes effect on your endothelial type of functions. In other words, your the blood vesicles, etc., is not so doing what it's supposed to be doing, or can be affected. And you can have high blood pressure and developing coronary heart problems. And that is especially where the stress plays a major role. But generally, you would find that people that's under stress, etc., suddenly it's more difficult for them to control their blood glucose levels, etc. Stress in general is just an evil of our time. It's something that is causing a lot of problems.
Just finally, talking about coenzyme Q10, what is the daily dosage as a supplement?
If you look at coenzyme Q10, it's very important to get a very high quality type of supplement. Because it's a fat-soluble type of supplement, but it can be absorbed from a normal capsule or tablet as well if you just have got one that's of a very high quality. So normally your capsule needs to, or tablet or product using it, needs to contain at least 50 milligrams of coenzyme Q10. And then it depends on the condition whether it's taken more than once a day. But so it's not just a question of a high dosage. It can go up to about 200 milligrams, but at least about 15 milligrams of a high quality one rather.
Okay, but you, the physician, doctor, and the medical people in the pharmacy will be able to advise.
They should be able to advise you about it. These days, one or two specific ranges that's coming out. There's a gap range that's being brought out, which address specifically these problems. In other words, it's just marketed as a general type of vitamin, mineral type of range, but specifically aimed at the treatment of chronic disease.
Thank you so much, Prof. We're out of time. A fascinating discussion. Thanks so much for your input this morning. Much appreciated. And we'll speak again, no doubt. Thank you very much.